The Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Pat Lowney as he talks to entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
Good morning and welcome to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney and I'm here this morning with Bob Molitor. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, Pat.
How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting me.
Good to have you here. We're happy you joined us this morning, and we'd like to remind you that Biz Talk is brought to you each weekend by the Fox City Score Chapter. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we move through the show, but I'd like to introduce our guest this morning at this time. He is Scott Niederjohn from Lakeland University. Scott is the dean of the J. Garland Chilcutt School of Business and Entrepreneurship. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and Lakeland University?
Sure, yeah. I came to Lakeland. I've been there 15 years now. I grew up in the Milwaukee area, and I went to Marquette University. Actually, my background was I have a degree in engineering, and I think I always thought, I didn't love engineering, but I always thought that I might get an MBA and work in sales or something like that. But when I entered the MBA program, I found economics. So I ended up eventually getting a PhD in economics, and I went to Lakeland as the Kohler Professor of Economics. They got a nice gift from the Kohler family to bring somebody up to Lakeland to teach economics and do research and things like that. But as my career kind of progressed, we actually changed from being a college to a university 3 years ago. And with that transition, we switched to having, instead of a bunch of departments, to having three schools. And the school that was just introduced, the J. Garland Chilcutt School of Business and Entrepreneurship, is the one I was asked to be the first dean or the first leader of. So that's kind of my history with Lakeland. So I've been doing that for the last couple of years. Lakeland has a long history, though. Lakeland's been around more than 150 years. We were founded during the dark days of the Civil War. Really, it was German immigrants. They had come over from Germany to farm, but eventually they wanted a place to train clergy, to train ministers for their church. So they clear-cut some land, not surprisingly land that wasn't good for farming. So we, even to this day, like right now, are encountering lots of flooding because they gave us some low-lying land, not very good for farming, really, really rocky. There was no electricity, no running water, but that first group came together to be a seminary for clergy. But like many schools, we evolved, started business programs in the 1950s, got into the seminary, actually then moved to St. Paul. So that's not even in Wisconsin anymore. So now we're applied liberal arts-based university, but most of our students are really in a business, criminal justice, education, kind of a career-focused kind of areas. And we got into, in the late 1970s, which may be interesting to people in the area here, a gentleman named William Kellett, who was the president of Kimberly-Clark. Lakeland was struggling a little bit with enrollments, and he saw in the late 70s sort of this trend towards globalization, and he recognized that his employees and many employees in Wisconsin would need further training. They would need maybe bachelor's degrees, critical thinking skills, accounting, finance, those kinds of things. So he approached a number of major universities and said, you should really start an adult evening school. Most of them said no, but thankfully Lakeland had a pretty innovative entrepreneurial president who said, yeah, we'd love to do that. So now we then started the William Kellett School of Adult Education, the first in Wisconsin, and that really helped the school grow. And even to this day, we have almost 4,000 adult students to study at centers throughout the state, including the one in the Fox Cities. But they're also in Green Bay, Wisconsin Rapids, and Madison. Places where people are obviously working but taking class in the evening trying to complete their degrees. We'd also, strangely maybe, in the 80s, we started a campus in Tokyo, Japan. Almost 100 schools went there in the 80s, right? Because that was the place to be in the 80s.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Copy all their good habits.
That's right. But they've almost all left except for two, Lakeland and Temple University. We're still there. So it's primarily Japanese or Asian students who want to improve their English and then transfer to the United States or the UK to an English-speaking country for college. So 10 to 20 come every year to Lakeland, which makes us, even though we're kind of in a rural Wisconsin Cornfield, we have a very diverse student body of students from all around the world, which is, I think, great for our domestic students as well. And then there we offer an associate's degree, like I said, primarily to Asian students who may want to transfer either to Lakeland or somewhere else. So that's been great. And then we can talk more as we get on. I think Lakeland's newest innovation has been what I'll call cooperative education, which we think is going to be the new trend in higher ed as the costs have become so exorbitant, particularly for normal families to be able to afford it.
So Lakeland has been very innovative, and they've got a much bigger footprint than I knew that they had in Wisconsin and around the world.
That's right, yeah. And I didn't – it's always kind of funny. I grew up in a Milwaukee suburb 50 miles from Lakeland. I'd never heard of Lakeland, right? So, I mean, it turns out I've learned now that I have – my mom had some friends that were alums, or there were some kids that I found out later that did go there. But, yeah, I think Lakeland's always been kind of a quiet place. You know, we – maybe the German history is not to celebrate, not to be
– We're pretty stoic. Yeah, we don't brag a lot.
I think that maybe hasn't served us always as well. So I think we tried to get better at telling our message now. But, yeah, I think it's kind of a fun school to work for because it's – higher ed's pretty challenging, but – we've always been a flexible, innovative, try-new-things kind of place, which makes it a more fun place to work, too.
Can you tell us where your center is in Neenah?
Well, you can probably tell me better. I know about where it is, but I'm not from the area, so you can probably describe exactly
what it is. It's on the south side of Neenah, right outside the industrial park.
Yeah, right outside
the industrial park. It's a very nice facility. I've been there, and you know, it's really, really nice. You've got that presence in the Fox Cities area. So.
And that's mostly night classes, too, there?
Yeah. It's almost exclusively adult night classes, but increasingly the students take some could be online, or what's become very popular is another example of innovation at Lakeland. We use a system called basically Blackboard Live, where we can broadcast the courses. So they may be being hosted by the professor in Neenah, but the students could be at home and live on the computer. They could be in any of the other seven centers throughout the state. Technology is good enough now that they can really feel like they're actually there, ask questions, do group projects, participate even online. So students increasingly with their busy schedules like that as well. But, yeah, if you go into that center in the evening, you'll find it bustling with students coming in and out. We do some other sort of programming there. Some groups use it in the day for their activities. They have meetings there. We run a nice, successful college for seniors the last number of years where seniors come in and hear from Lakeland professors about different topics. I did something on kind of the economy and, you know, trends in the economy. We had a faculty member do something about he is an ecologist and goes to Belize. We showed some of the wildlife and science that he's done there. We have a psychologist who sexting and the problems with adolescents is her area. And many of the seniors wanted to pick their own grandkids, right? So they were very interested in sort of how these social media things are being used, sometimes in a nefarious way. So I think they really appreciated the information they gave. So I think not only being a higher ed institution, but also being a community partner and somebody that can, you know, offer programming in the area.
You do a great job of that.
Well, thanks.
So I'd like to talk about your College of Business and Entrepreneurship. We were talking a little bit before the show started about when I went to college a long time ago, there was the College of Business or whatever, and I went to school to focus on a degree. So I became an accountant or, you know, other people focus on marketing and things like that. But I'm seeing more and more now where business schools are starting to focus on entrepreneurship, and you're doing that. What brought you to that?
I think a lot of it really is employer demand. Students, of course, still do what you did. Our most popular major is accounting, and we have some phenomenal students that the CPA exam scores that we've produced in recent years have rivaled UW, Whitewater, and other very good programs. So we're very proud of that. Or marketing or the different majors we have. But increasingly we hear from employers that that's all nice, but things like teamwork, communication skills, just solving problems.
Yeah, just office decorum and just, common politics that go on. It seemed when we would see the people that would come out of college, they had to be a novice. You really had to train them in so many things that you thought, wait a minute, they should know about some of this stuff.
Yeah, we thought that too, and I think what we hear from employers is we can teach them the job stuff. I mean, no offense, but it's not that hard. We can train them on what they need to do every day, but it's a little harder for us to get them to have the professional skills you're describing, the teamwork skills. Good writing skills, communication skills are enormous, right? So they often say, a good example is a very large insurer in Sheboygan County. They've said to us, yeah, I know you have classes in insurance, and it doesn't hurt, of course, to have taken those, But frankly, if, we'll take a history major. If they can be smart kids who will figure stuff out, they'll show up every day, they'll solve problems for us, they'll be good communicators. They've even found that they like our hospitality management students because no one calls their insurance agent happy, right? So it's good to have some customer service skills. So
yeah.
It's not that much different from dealing with someone who's mad about their hotel room versus someone who calls in and got in a car accident. So they've actually found those skills are harder to teach than the technical aspects of how insurance works. So I think what you're saying is right. Entrepreneurship, I think, where it fits in is that employers increasingly, even if the students aren't going to, say, start their own business, the mindset is helpful at a company too, right? The idea of risk-taking, the idea of failure is okay, and we can try things. This whole process of how you ideate a good idea and figure out what can really work. I mean, everybody thinks they've got a business idea, but how do you make sure it really has a market and you've got a niche and you've done the real research to show that there actually is something here that's not being served, right? We all have great ideas, but a little effort, you can often find that someone's already doing it.
Right. So that breaks a stereotype that I have about entrepreneurship, and that being that I would take that, I'd learn about that and go out and start my own business someplace. You're saying there's a lot of employers that are looking for that kind of mindset and attitude that they can use inside of their larger company.
Yeah, and that surprised me too. You're right, because I think when we initially got going with this, where we had some courses in entrepreneurship, we would often, another thing Lakeland often does is we have a number of full-time faculty like me, but we've always found it important to have a nice, stable group of adjunct faculty who actually are either working or have recently been working. So some are retired alums who want to move back to the Elkhart Lake area, perhaps. Others, though, are, say, working at the coal company every day and coming in the afternoon to teach class. I think it really helps our students to be connected with, you know, not only faculty who are sort of PhD kind of theory trained, but also practice. And what we're hearing from these practice professors is that, yeah, they often are getting development or training on how to act more entrepreneurial within the corporate environment.
And right? To me, that almost seems contrary to, if I'm an employer, I don't want to have somebody coming in to see me, to work for me, that's got this entrepreneurial spirit that's going to be leaving me to go off in business and start something on his own. But yet, those are the traits you want as a good employee that knows what a company is going through, knows what risks are, knows what economics are, knows what profit and loss statements can really impact a business, and they make decisions accordingly. So.
Yeah, I think the way you stated it is the way I probably would have too until I started talking to people. And, you know, launching a new product line is not that different than launching a company, right? So it's the same kind of step. So if they have ideas or just because you've always been doing it one way doesn't mean that there aren't other ways to do things or better ways to do things, or maybe we should be in a new market. So I think having students who can think that way, we found employers find really valuable. So being flexible enough to be able to adapt and change and think about. And I've thought about this a lot. In our computer science major at Lakeland, the things the students are learning in their first year, the languages, programming languages, are almost always obsolete by the time they graduate.
Oh,
things change too fast.
So
and
dynamic.
That's sort of true in business in many ways too. So in the end, maybe we shouldn't be teaching these skills that change. We should be teaching the things that never change, like how to be a good teammate, how to communicate and write and solve problems. Solving problems will always be important, right?
Right.
So I think that's increasingly been what we hear from employers is technical skills, yeah, it changes, we'll figure that out. We need people that are show up every day, work hard, but also have some of these maybe soft skills.
That's really a great point. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to Biz Talk and WHBY.
At Alberts & Hayling CPAs, your success is our success. We can clarify any tax situation and help your business take the steps in managing it confidently. We offer services from startup to sell-off, including payroll, bookkeeping, accounting, and more. Visit AlbertsHaling.com today. Alberts & Hayling. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts & Hayling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Are you a business owner looking to purchase real estate or equipment? Did you know there's a program out there that any bank or credit union can offer to help you make it happen with as little as 10% down and long-term fixed rates under 5%? It's called the SBA 504 program, and it has been working for small businesses for over 35 years. So next time you are talking to your banker about real estate or equipment financing, make sure you ask them for the SBA 504 option, because knowing all of your options is good business. Learn more about the SBA 504 program at wbd.org.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Intellectual property doesn't have to be confusing. If you have an original idea and are considering patents, trademarks, copyrights, or protecting your company logo, let me partner with you and make it easy to build and protect your intellectual property portfolio. Legal Business Edge. Know your options. Call 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
Welcome back. We're glad you joined us this morning. Our guest this morning is Scott Niederjohn. Scott is the Dean of the School of Business and Entrepreneurship at Lakeland University. Before we get back to Scott, I'd like to tell you a little bit about our SCORE chapter. Our Fox City SCORE chapter is located in the Fox City's Chamber office in downtown Appleton. We have offices in Appleton, Oshkosh, and Fond du Lac, and we serve an 8-county area around those three cities. We have 50 volunteer mentors, each an expert in their own field. We offer entrepreneurs no-cost and confidential mentoring. We have expertise in areas such as IT, social media, marketing, cash flow, accounting, strategic planning, workflow, HR, retail, best practices, and many other specialties. In order to register for our no-cost and confidential mentoring session, or to learn more about the Fox City SCORE chapter, visit our website at foxcities.score.org. You can learn more about how the SCORE chapter can assist you with starting and or growing your business. When visiting our website at foxcities.score.org, you can complete an online application for a no-cost confidential mentoring session. Simply complete the online form and submit it to SCORE. Within a few days, a SCORE mentor will be contacting you to set up a meeting. Remember, SCORE is no cost and offers experts who can offer assistance to you in many different areas where your business may need help. To get started, visit our website at foxcities.score.org. To support small business people, the Fox City SCORE chapter is always looking for new mentors. We could use people with experience in agriculture, wellness, government, and government contracts and construction. If you have experience that you'd like to share with others looking for help in these areas, we'd love to talk to you. Go to foxcities.score.org, click on the volunteer button, and fill out the short application. We'll have somebody get back to you right away. So I'll turn back to Scott and keep talking about the last conversation. You talked about the mindset that you're trying to train and employers looking for. How does a liberal arts education fit into that?
Yeah, and that's an interesting question because it's being debated around this country on college campuses, among parents. Every day in the news there's stories of liberal arts-based colleges that are either closing or suffering from serious enrollment issues. Why is that? One, it's demographic. There are less 18-year-olds right now than there have been in the last number of years. So as our president often says, you can't enroll a kid who wasn't born, right? So it's going to be hard to get him when he's 18 if he wasn't born. So there's just less kids. We're fighting over that. But I think we've done it to ourselves in many ways. Higher ed has become so expensive. In fact, by far, if you look at the growth and inflation and different things, healthcare has been expensive, but higher ed actually outpaced that, and textbooks have outpaced that. So for young people trying to go to college, increasingly, especially to afford a private school, it often means being saddled with enormous amounts of debt. And I think that's what's got parents and students thinking about the value then. So is a liberal arts college valuable? If I'm going to be paying this much for this thing, it sure better be. So I think we still think it is, but I think we often think about it as sort of an applied liberal arts. So students need to have a good major and learn some good skills, but they benefit from the liberal arts perspective. So I think that might mean communication skills, becoming good writers and good speakers and good presenters. It could mean critical thinking, so that is solving problems. So and those can be problems. They could be an engineering problem. It could be a math problem, it could be a science problem, it could be even a sociology problem, but there's a way to solve problems, right? To think through the method, and so I think that's important. Teamwork we talked about already. So I really think it's integrating the liberal arts with good content, good programs, and that's what I think will give students the best chance in a job market, in a changing job market, one where the things you're trained for today, that job may not exist in 5 or 10 years, so you need to have sort of this background that can be adaptable, and I think you get a lot of that from a liberal arts education.
I know I talked to one of your colleagues a while back ago, and one of the things that struck me was the critical thinking part.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems, you know, everybody thinks, I think I'm a critical thinker, but in reality, probably I'm not. And, you know, I think there's a kind of a lack of that right now. We seem to be in a shouting match about so many things and not taking the time, so that kind of an education has a lot of importance for all of us.
And sometimes the shouting match comes because we're using different sets of information, right? So I think one of the real benefits of a good critical thinker is in the current internet-based environment, I can probably find facts or data that would defend any position I choose to take, but how does a student, a young person, separate the ones that are valid, the ones that are accurate, the ones that are real good sources, the ones that are legitimate from those that aren't? I would almost argue you need more so than the past, when there used to just be like three news outlets and we trusted them. Now you really need to be able to sift through information and figure out what's valuable. So I think that's true in business. It's probably true in life. So we really are trying to produce good citizens in addition to good employees. But given the cost of higher ed, I think the employment part is huge. That's been what my mantra at Lakeland is. We want to be the school of business where students finish in 4 years and get a job. So not 5 years, not seven, four, and then employed in your field. Not at, you know, not something you could have been doing in high school.
That has been the focus. I mean, even Walker said the purpose of college education is to create people, to create jobs. But again, that liberal arts background is somewhat critical. It just gives you a better thought process when you do get exposed to business problems, that you have a little bit more mental exposure, that you can take a look at maybe both sides of the story, and you know, you say, oh geez, I'm not going to sit here and argue with people. Let's discuss the situation and come up with some kind of a compromise or whatever.
I know in my own life experience, when I particularly was in grad school, I had to, you know, there was so much emphasis on communication, written and spoken communication, that I got the experience of the more you do it, the better you get, but you got to do it. You got to keep on doing it, practice it.
Right. And are we suffering from that today with the youth, that all they do is communicate via text? And
yeah, I think some of the social things are lacking, because you can be social, you can be playing your Xbox with nobody in the room with you, but your friends are all online, right? So it's a different kind of engagement with people. Some of our employers tell us that the current young people sometimes have some trouble relating to their boss or others, because just things have changed. Like, you don't have those same social skills that you might have gotten.
Well, the interpretation I take out of it is that silence, reticence and shyness can be defined or interpreted as conceit and arrogance.
Hmm.
And the person has not had exposure in a social environment, and he gets into a group of a business people trying to discuss an idea or discuss a problem, and they're not responding. People are thinking, well, this guy doesn't care, you know, he doesn't belong in our group. Yeah, and they don't recognize that. Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of things that Lakeland is doing that kind of address those issues of cost of college and some of those things. So I want to remind you, you're listening to Biz Talk on WHBY.
Are you feeling less than confident in your personal or business finances? At Alberts and Haling CPAs, we work with individuals and small business owners to simplify finances and help maximize profits. From asset protection to tax planning and more, we'll guide you through a financial plan. Visit AlbertsHaling.com today. Alberts & Haling. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts & Haling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney, and I'm here this morning with Bob Molitor, and we're talking to Scott Niederjohn from Lakeland University. One of the things that SCORE does is provide educational seminars, and we've got a couple of them coming up. Bob, would you like to tell us about those?
Will do. Our next one will be an accounting basics for small business accounting software programs. And this one is really relevant. All of our clients are always asking for accounting assistance, and this one would be pretty germane for them. It will be on September 19th from 6 o'clock at night to 8 p.m. at the Fox Cities Chamber of Commerce office building in Appleton on North Superior Street. This seminar will help business owners and their staff understand basics of accounting, such as how to set up a simple accounting system, the logic behind many routine accounting transactions, and how they are handled in accounting software programs, and how basic accounting processes are handled in business transactions, such as sales, purchases, journal entries, bank reconciliations, financial statements, and more. This seminar will precede our next QuickBooks classes, which will be on our first four Wednesday evenings in October, and that one's at New Horizons Computer Center. We do recommend, once you see the QuickBooks, just to register because that normally sells out. We also will have some information on our website, foxcities.score.org, soon. If you are interested in one seminar, you don't need to attend both, but if you feel a bit more basic understanding of accounting will help you with QuickBooks, you may want to attend the first seminar to help you with the QuickBooks seminar. Registration for our fall QuickBooks classes is now available on our website at foxcities.score.org. The first class will be Wednesday, October 3rd. They begin at 6 o'clock at night and will continue for the next three Wednesday evenings. You can attend one, two, or all four classes. If you want to learn more about QuickBooks, these classes are definitely for you. You'll have your own computer to work on and individual help in that area if you need it. These classes will always fill up, sign early. So for more information, go to our website, foxcities.score.org. One more thing I will bring up, and I will announce it probably pretty soon, is on October 11th, I believe, we're having another Google seminar direct from the Google corporate headquarters. Get your business online. We've been recognized as subject matter experts, and this one is going to be how to help your business get ready for Christmas sales. So that's going to be pretty pertinent from that standpoint. With that, we'll get back to Scott.
Okay, thanks, Bob. So, Scott, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that Lakeland is doing to address some of the issues of cost and employment, that kind of thing. So you've got a couple of them, right?
Yeah, I think one that is somewhat unique, about a year and a half ago now, we came to the realization that our customers couldn't afford our product, which, you know, while we're a nonprofit, that's just a tax debt. If we need to make some money, we need to be able to survive. And we're generally tuition driven, so we need to have students. And we really found that, again, our president was starting to call it immoral, the kinds of debt levels students were graduating with. So we kind of looked around and thought about what we could do. And what we came up with, I think, is actually pretty innovative, and it's gotten off to a great start. So it's really a co-op or cooperative education program. These have been very common in engineering schools for a long time. So essentially it's a program where students alternate semesters with work and classes and then work classes. So a good, a nice example of one would be we've got a pretty robust hospitality management major. We have that because we're located in an area where the Kohler company is the American Club. I'm sure most listeners are aware of the American Club or the golf courses they own, or the Osthoff Resort or the Blue Harbor Resort. So that major is pretty popular, not only for Wisconsin, but students might go work at Disney or whatever. But the challenge in that industry has always been that college students go back to school like right around now, yet Wisconsin resorts are busy through the fall. So what our new program looks like is students take a normal first year, freshman year of classes, but then starting after that, starting on May 1st, they do a co-op from May to September, take a few classes. We have a seven-week term that goes until Christmas, come back in the spring, and do that again. You repeat that three times. So then you graduate with maybe as much as a year and a half to 2 years of work experience. And additionally, you make some income such that that money could be applied and should be applied. We try to teach the kids to your tuition, so you're minimizing your debt. And the parents love, of course, to hear that. But you're also getting these skills. You're graduating with your resume, having a couple years of experience, and we've been finding that as students are able to do this, they can start oftentimes maybe a little level higher because they've been an employee for this company for now a year and a half or maybe even 2 years. In our accounting major, you can think about it working the same way, but most of the co-ops would run kind of January into the summer because that's the tax season, right? So that's when they really need our students, and those students can make $22, $23 an hour doing this. So they can really make some pretty significant income, presumably graduate little debt, learn workplace skills. So, and then the other, I think the reason why this is a great time to do that is across Wisconsin, particularly in eastern Wisconsin, we have a very low unemployment rate. So employers are having a really hard time even finding employees. And we all hear about this Foxconn thing. Where will these 10,000 people come from? That's going to put even more pressure on our labor market. So we are now being viewed, Lakeland is, as kind of a solution to this workforce shortage. So we're partners. We provide students who can do work for the companies, and the companies provide the experiences and the money. and the mentorship. So the students graduate with work experience, professional skills, a mentor at the company that they can rely on for other purposes, and the money to help minimize their debt. So I think we have found that this has gotten us a lot of attention. We appear to be the only school in the upper Midwest with a co-op program. There are some well-known schools that co-op Northeastern in Boston and Cincinnati, which I'm going to go visit soon to see how kind of get some advice from them. But those are massive universities that have been doing this for a long, long time. We think we're probably the only liberal arts-based college, you know, small school, certainly in the Midwest, that's doing this. So I think it's innovative, and it's just one more example of, you know, Lakeland finding a way to survive, whether it meant going to Japan, whether it was starting the evening program. I think this is the solution for today's problem. Our today's problem is cost of higher ed.
Great, great. Sounds like a very good program. You also have something called the Commons, right, that you're working on?
Yeah, yeah. But before I get to that, it reminds me, I should say that I want it to be clear that we view co-op as not just a business thing, but we've actually created a co-op minor where students of any major could participate in it. So, as I mentioned before, even if you're a history major, doesn't mean employers don't find you useful, right? And you may not have a degree that fits the exact job description, but we're getting the employers to say, yeah, we'll take any bright students, give them the work experience, and we'll do the best to try to make that work with their studies. The Commons, I'm glad you asked about that. That's a program that it's not a Lakeland program, but a program that we were among the first schools to sign up for. It was launched in Milwaukee by the Greater Milwaukee Foundation. They were looking at this problem of brain drain and of Wisconsin's sort of lagging ranking often in business startups. So they were trying to think about what they could do to solve this problem, and they built a consortium of virtually all the higher educational institutions in southeastern Wisconsin, all the way up to Manitowoc and down to Kenosha, and then out to kind of the Waukesha area. So it's not only the four-year schools, the Medical College of Wisconsin's in it. There's been doctoral students that have done it, and then there's also been school students in the two-year tech schools that have participated. I think the secret sauce, though, is two parts. One, students are put on teams not with their colleagues from their own school, but in a cross-school team. They learn to work with kids from other universities, but also they're put on interdisciplinary teams. So they use the kind of the clever analogy of hacker, hipster, hustler, handler. So you might think about, you know,
4-H club.
Yeah, right. But yeah, but the hacker might be your kind of computer scientist, likes to monkey around with data and with language, computer languages. The hipster might be your graphic designer, right, or your marketing per sales kind of person. The hustler might be product management or an accountant, and the handler, the hustler might be a
sales person,
right? So, but the idea, I think, what this is able to do, which is hard to do on any one campus, is bring kids together from multidiscipline. And so our kids, we've had accounting students on teams with an engineer from MSOE and maybe a marketing kid from Marquette University, and they're taking on either a corporate challenge that's been submitted to the program from a company or a student startup. And those are usually ideas the kids come with and say, I got an idea for a business or a nonprofit. I want to start this. I need a team of other students to help me do that. So we found it's been really valuable. So you can take all the classes you want in entrepreneurship. We've all read books about entrepreneurs. I've read textbooks that we use. But I think we've come to the conclusion that it's not just an academic thing. It's a doing thing. It's a trying thing. So this gives them a chance to try a real-world solution, present to the corporate executives of the companies they're working for, maybe try to launch their idea for a startup and see what actually happens. I think we've... One piece of evidence that this has been working pretty well is that the three biggest sponsors, which are the Kohl's Department Store, Briggs & Stratton, and the Manpower Group, they've essentially agreed to interview any student who completes the program because they feel that the program is so valuable that they will at least interview everybody who's been through it. And they've always been companies that are supplying challenges or these corporate events that students work on. So it's been great. It's been a really great opportunity for our students who – they've taken some classes, maybe they've been in an entrepreneurship club, they've had mentors. This is like the next step. It's the ability for them to actually to try it out.
How do you define success when you're working through these kinds of programs?
Yeah, and that's a good question. That's a question that higher ed's under a lot of pressure to try to answer. It's one thing to say what you do, but how can you show, right? I mean, if students, again, if you're paying $30,000 a year, you'd like to be able to demonstrate, you know, not just be told you know something, but you show it. The Commons has tried to engage in some of that. Some of that is actual testing. You know, do they know more about the ideation process? Because entrepreneurship, part of it's being a risk taker, but some of it's also a process too, right? You can learn. We use a textbook called discipline entrepreneurship from an MIT professor. There's a mindset. But also we ask the students questions, things like at the beginning we ask them, do they think that Wisconsin is a good place for entrepreneurs, or would they want to work in Wisconsin when they graduate? At the beginning, many of them say no. They think that this is kind of everybody works in a big manufacturing company. But at the end of the program, they are much more often saying that this is actually a pretty innovative place to be because they've met the people that are in the innovation sector, they've gotten a mentor, they've been able to kind of network with people. So I think that's a good sign. It's a good sign for the state that perhaps we'll retain some of our smartest students. They won't feel like they have to go to Chicago or New York to get an interesting job. And I think you can show that what they've come up with for the companies, they really value. And they've often implemented what they came up with. I'm thinking of an example. Kohl's Department Store asked a group of kids to re-envision back-to-school shopping. And what the kids came up with was basically the bridal registry for back to school. So it's an app on your phone where you send it to all your aunts and uncles and say, I need these kind of sheets. I need, you know, a microwave. I need this. And they can go out and buy it for you, click it off, and they know what's been purchased, and then it gets shipped to your university. And it's sort of like the registry, right? So, again, that's not all that doesn't – it's not a mind-blowing idea, but it's one they hadn't thought of because – they didn't have employees who were kind of in the middle of that, right? So I think that's a good example of the company's benefit because they get a perspective of millennials or young people, and that may be their market they're trying to sell to.
And sometimes people a little bit older like I am have a stereotype about millennials and the people that are going through school right now that isn't all positive, and this is a great example of something where you really are seeing a lot of positives come out of that. And it's just a recognition that I went to the world in a different place than where they're going right now.
Yes, I think sometimes the companies like these projects because it gives them access to young people to kind of, learn a little more about how they operate, which will help them manage them in the future. That's going to be their workforce at some point. But also I can think of other examples of a well-known Wisconsin cheesemaker that found that young people are kind of intimidated buying nice wines and cheeses. They just don't know what to do. So they just don't buy it because they don't know what would be good. Well, the kids came up with a kiosk that says, you know, I'm having this kind of party, so this would be the kind of cheese you should buy, and then it matches them with a nice wine, and the problem solved, right? So now I'm not saying this is like inventing an iPhone, but it is interesting, and I think for students to have gone through the process of solving that problem is a good thing. So, and if they fail, they fail. But it's probably better to fail when you're 20 and it's a commons project before, you know, it's your money and it's a real thing. Right. So that's cool.
Well, that's one thing that scores on our radar screen, and it's probably the first time ever because the millennials are being defined as a totally different generation where they are amongst themselves as a group and that they do not mingle or commingle with other generations, be it somebody 30s or 40s or 50s. Did you find that to be true? And how do we approach? We're always looking. Well, are there millennials going to assist us? Are we going to assist them in mentoring? And we just don't seem to get that connection.
Yeah, you hear that a lot. Sometimes I think it's harder for me to answer that, given I spend like most of my time around them. But then again, one of the challenging things about my job is, you know, every year I get older, but the students stay about the same age, right?
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I was 28 or so when I came to Lakeland, so I might have saw the students at concerts or even going out and things. But now I'm like their parents' age, right? So I spend a lot of time around them. I think sometimes they get a bad rap, but they do have some unique things. One thing we often hear from employers is that these young people talk more about wanting jobs that they find even personally rewarding somehow. They want to be making a difference. And you know, whereas I think I was telling you guys at lunch, I got my first job. I just wanted to keep it and get paid and show up every day. I did what I was told. And they seem to have more interest in flexibility and be able to kind of control the environment. But some of it's just different. So I think some of it is just learning to be able to work with them and for them being learning to work with the employers. I think so. We often are asked for advice on, you know, how to integrate millennials into a team environment at a company. But.
And do you notice a difference now, Scott, so let's say within the last 10 years or whatever you've been exposed to these, that they're more interested in working for corporations or they're more interested in working as a business owner or in a small business?
I would say if the latter. I think that many more now envision themselves as owning a business at some point.
Good.
And I think that's because they want the flexibility of the work side. They want the flexibility. They want to be able to do something that they find valuable and not be told by a company that this is what you have to do. Mm-hmm. But I think, as we also talked about before, I think we're also finding that companies are adapting and saying, we almost need to have a startup-like or an entrepreneurial-like department or division that thinks about the world not like we're a $10 billion company, but like we're one that needs to grow, that needs to maybe acquire companies, that needs to start new businesses. So I think the students can also fit into those kind of niches. And often companies are making the kind of adaptation they want. They're making those sorts of departments the more, you know, think about Google, right, with flexible dress or the fun time, right? So I think they're trying to adapt to that.
To me, that makes it more attractive for them to stay working for those companies rather than break out on their own.
Right.
And the compensation, I think, can be pretty strong to keep those people working there.
Sure.
I know my son's in the financial side. He's only 27. And the benefits and the flexibility and the compensation and the bonus money and things, it's there. It's hard to say, I'm going to give this up and go risk starting a business.
Yeah, of course, but that also, my biggest concern about our co-op program is right now we have this, you know, amazing set of corporate partners who have lent their logos to us. They want to hire our students. We can't get enough students to them. But what happens in a downturn, you know, when the economy does inevitably weaken? I don't want to see our students be the first ones that are sort of cut, you know, and I think that's why it's on Lakeland to demonstrate the value in this program so that when we need their help, they stick with us because we've been helping them through some good times. So I think we need to show that our students can really deliver and really add a lot of value so they wouldn't want to eliminate this program even when times are a little bit tighter than they are right now.
Okay.
That's a good point.
We're going to take one last break. This is Biz Talk and WHPY.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. We can partner with you to reach creative legal solutions for your business, from contract drafting and negotiation, patents and trademarks, commercial transactions, and governmental compliance.
Timely and candid answers coupled with high energy and passion define Sarah's approach to legal counsel.
Know your options. Call me at 920-851-7761 or visit legalbusinessedge.com.
Hi, this is Matt Wilcock. I've been helping businesses in this area for over 20 years as a business banker and now as a vice president with WBD, your business finance resource. WBD is a nonprofit company that partners with local lending institutions to offer the SBA 504 loan program. If you are looking to buy commercial, real estate, or equipment, want to lower your down payment and get a 20-year fixed rate under 5%, be sure to ask your banker to show you the 504 option. And don't worry, at WBD we speak SBA, so we will make it easy for you and your banker. For more information on the 504 program, visit WBD.org.
From ordinary tax concerns to extraordinary tax situations, let Alberts and Haling CPAs help you through tax planning, business consulting from startup to sell-off, and more. We specialize in creating financial management plans for your business. Visit AlbertsHaling.com today. Alberts and Haling. Personal connections. Positive results.
Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts and Haling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
I'd like to thank our sponsors who bring Biz Talk to you each weekend. We couldn't do it without them. The first, I'd like to thank Fox Communities Credit Union, a longtime sponsor of Biz Talk. If you're looking for a business-oriented banking service, please contact Fox Communities Credit Union. Thank you to Alberts and Haling CPAs. They have offices in Appleton and Green Bay. Alberts and Haling offer accounting services geared to support the small and medium-sized business and the individual, including tax preparation and advice. Thank you to Legal Business Edge, LLC, which offers legal services to business owners. Sarah DeBruin and her team specialize in business law, offering services for forming a business, contract review, and intellectual property law, such as patents, copyrights, and trademarks. Thank you to WBD, the Wisconsin Business Development Corporation. WBD's mission is to create jobs, grow business, and build communities. They are the 504 SBA loan experts. And thank you to Prior Cash Flow Management. Prior believes that every entrepreneur wants to succeed. Prior offers creative, effective solutions to improve cash flow for your company. Every successful company budgets and manages their cash flow. Visit Prior at www.priorcfm.com. And finally, a thank you to Candale Marketing, who supports our webpage, which is biztalkwithscore.com, and the Business News, which publishes a paper every other week in Northeast Wisconsin and probably is the premier vehicle for finding out what's going on in business in Northeast Wisconsin. So, Scott, as we start wrapping up, what thoughts would you like to leave us with on the market that you're working with and Lakeland University's role in it?
Yeah, thanks. I think we've made the point that higher ed is in a period of challenge, and that the costs of higher education has put a lot of stress on young people. So I think parents need to make good choices. Students need to pick good majors. I think we think that just one solution, not the only solution, but one solution might be our co-op program. And I was thinking about what I didn't say is that when students are on this co-op experience, this, say, six-month work experience, we don't just send them out there. We actually also enroll them in kind of a seminar-like course where they're all together, maybe online, maybe in person, but they're reflecting on and working on some of the professional skills, maybe thinking about issues that come up at work, maybe conflict, maybe teamwork. But I was just thinking about some of the things that we try to accomplish in that course, and I think while this may primarily apply to younger workers, I think maybe anybody, one thing we're trying to do in that class is a little bit of financial literacy. I think years past, even my age, but certainly people older, they very likely worked for the same company for a long time. They may have had a nice pension when they graduated. That when you have a pension, it means the company takes the risk, not you, right? Where a 401k means that you're in charge of your own investment. So a little financial literacy is important there. We've certainly found that while it used to be the credit score was important, to get a loan, increasingly employers want to see it because if you can't manage your own money, do they want you managing their money, right? Or if you're risky with your own money, or you're a risky driver, you're risky with your behavior. So fair or not fair, that credit score has become a badge that's kind of tied to us. So I think you got to think about that, don't just think about it because I might want to get a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage someday. Think about it because you may be literally disqualified from jobs because an employer says, boy, look at their behavior.
Well, they look at that as a resume, yeah. And I always felt that way when people had financial issues, they brought baggage to work, and sure, that affected their performance.
Less
bottom line,
perhaps,
bottom line,
issues,
yeah. So
I think it's some of those kind of, like I mentioned before, financial literacy, we put in the sort of life skills area. That, the soft skills, the good communication skills, the good teamwork skills, the dealing with conflict, critical thinking. I just hope people don't diminish those. It isn't just about getting a technical major. I think increasingly, because the world changes so fast, it's those kind of skills that are probably going to help us become employed for most of our lives. Not necessarily a technical thing that you learned 30 years ago, but may not be that relevant anymore. So I hope that's, I don't want to diminish college majors, but that's just one piece of it.
Well, college has a big part to play in getting people ready for life. And I'm really happy to hear that Lakeland is making the efforts that they're making to get people ready for life and things.
Not
that,
just educationally, yes, in knowledge, but in social skills and, functioning from that standpoint in the business world.
How to work with employers and those kinds of things. When even though it is a tight market for labor out there, we still have choices as employers of who we're going to pick and who we're going to use to and things. So that's really good to hear. So I'd like to thank you for coming in this morning, Scott. It's been great having you here. And, Bob, it's good having you along with us, too, this week. And thank you very much for your time and your expertise. It's been very valuable. So that's it for this week. We will be back next week. I'll see you then. Take care.